If I was standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, would I need to persuade my soul to praise what I'm seeing? If I was being shown this exquisite diamond, would I need to preach to my own soul to praise the beauty of that diamond? I don't think so, but our souls are sinful and broken and flawed, and so we need to preach to those souls to praise God.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we wrap up our summer psalm series. It's hard to let it go, but it is a great time to reflect upon Psalm 103. As Stephen Whitmer points out why it's so important for us to persist in preaching the gospel to ourselves, even in those times that we don't want to do it. But first, we're joined by Esther Liu as we talk about her book on the subject of shame and how a Christian counselor can give us guidance in addressing some of the darkest areas of our lives. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. All week long, we've been talking with author and Christian counselor Esther Liu about the subject of shame, which is actually the title of her book. It's called Shame, Being Known and Loved. It's a 31-day devotional. But over the course of this week in talking about shame, if you've been listening, it's likely that you have been coming face to face with a problem, something that you have been struggling with personally that is always in your face and something that you are too ashamed to even bring to the surface and address. Well, Esther, for our listeners who are overwhelmingly heartbroken over their shame, they can't even think about it without being drawn deeper into the pit of despair. What sort of advice do you have for them to even have a conversation or even listen to us talk about the subject?
Yeah, I think there are two things that immediately come to mind. One is I'm immediately taken to Matthew 5:3, which is the first of Jesus' Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And those who are face to face with their shame, with their inadequacies, with their failures and weaknesses, they know what it means to feel poor in spirit. It means you don't have sufficient resources within yourself to make your life work, to make your faith work, to make your Christian life work. It means that you realize you need help from outside of yourself. And so the first thing, I go there because so often the initial response to shame is hiding, and I need to get my act together before I can go to God. So often it's, covering up or just pretending or stuffing it down. But there's something about that beatitude that gives us a vision for if you are face-to-face with your shame, that means you're face to face with your poverty and spirit, and the Lord does not disdain that. The Lord is not disgruntled with that, but he actually says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." There is something profoundly good about you being face to face with weaknesses, inadequacies, sin struggles that you realize you can't rescue yourself from. And so with that even glimpse of hope that Matthew 5:3 could be true, that you are not cursed, that you are not discarded because you're poor in spirit, but you are blessed as you are poor in spirit. That gives room and freedom and maybe even, I hope, an ounce of courage then to speak honestly to the Lord about those things that are causing shame in your life, and giving you then the courage to maybe even identify one or two other people who feel safe, who are trustworthy, that you can share and ask for prayer from. And there's a way in which you don't even have to share everything. Like, that call to community is not necessarily you need to call up one person right now and bare your entire soul and all of your history in one sitting and say everything in order to feel honest. There's a way in which you can be like, you know what? I'm really struggling with this. I'm not really ready to share everything, but I am ready to share that I need prayer for a certain area of my life. And so you don't have to say everything, but you can say, you know what, I've been really struggling, and I'm not ready yet to even share what I'm struggling with, but I just wanted you to know that I'm struggling and I could really use your prayers in this coming week. It could be a baby step like that. And that in and of itself is a huge and glorious movement towards community. And so I know there are going to be a lot of listeners who are like, I don't necessarily have that safe community, or I don't know who those people would be. And I have full sympathy for that. I know what that's like. And so even if you're not ready to share it all, are there pieces that you are ready to share? Are you willing to share just even like, I can't share what I'm going through right now, but I could use your prayers. Like, is that a doable baby step? And to see where that, where it goes from there. And so, yeah, for anyone who feels like shame has surfaced for them listening to this, I just want you to know that you're not alone. And Jesus has beautiful words for people who struggle in this way. You're not disqualified. You're not disdained. You're not discarded, less loved. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Live in that blessing by speaking honestly to God, who invites you to him, and see if there's a baby step that you can take to share that with someone else as well.
You already answered my next question. I wanted to talk about community, and that's beautiful because I think a lot of people feel isolated from the community, especially the church, if they've ever, maybe they left in a blaze of glory, or they were left out of a sin issue and they know they need to go back. This is a tough thing, and especially community. I'm thinking of parents or grandparents who have maybe done something or said something to their children or their family members that have caused them to feel that there's no way to restore that relationship. Shame can be a devastating component. But I love the subtitle of your book here, that we're known and loved by God. That is really an understanding of sitting a little bit longer at the foot of the cross and considering what he's done for us, and then being willing to bear that shame and to go and break into those conversations and be willing to have those conversations and ask for forgiveness. That is so Christ-like in this subject.
Yeah. And that's such a good reminder too, as well, of there are going to be some people where it's like, even sharing that you're struggling and like, can you pray for me, is not going to feel safe. And there are some people who truly are just, yeah, really alone in this. And yet, to know, you know, what you were alluding to before, like, there is someone who fully understands your shame. There is someone who walked that path before you. There is someone who chose to do that willingly because he knew that the people that he wanted to save would go through this too. So even if there's no one and you just like look around and you're like, who's here? And it just looks like a barren wasteland and there's just no one. Know that there is someone, and that someone is Jesus, who understands shame in the most profound way that we'll never even be able to fully wrap our minds around. Like, our Savior was nailed to a cross, naked and exposed, mocked and scorned, spit on with a crown of thorns, and rejected by even the closest disciples that he invested his entire life to, and descended from glory to have the most humble birth, and just throughout his life, just hated by people who should have loved him and embraced him. He knows rejection. He knows forsakenness. He knows abandonment. He knows being mocked. He knows being looked down upon. He knows being alone and isolated. He knows what the painful nakedness looks like when you're exposed before other people. He knows those things. And so, yeah, if anyone feels utterly alone and feels like there's no one, there is someone. And that is the beauty of the gospel, that we have a Savior who doesn't just speak niceties to our shame, but actually endured shame on our behalf, so that isolation and our shame wouldn't have final say in our lives, that all of us can live with a hope that there is someone who walked before us and walks with us in it. And that's Jesus Christ, even if all other people have forsaken or disappointed you.
We've been talking with Esther Liu. Her book is called Shame, Being Known and Loved. It's a part of the 31-day devotional for life. And I feel like I've just been through a counseling session. I should send you my insurance information. So refreshing, so encouraging. Aww. And I wanted to say a few words in closing for our listeners. If you are dealing with shame, if you're going through an issue and you need someone to reach out to, there is no shame in reaching out to a Christian counselor. And CCEF is an amazing organization. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling, if you're hurting, if you're broken, reach out to somebody who can help. We would love to help you. We would love to encourage you. So please just let us know how we can help you, how we can connect you with a Christian counselor. I meet with a Christian counselor on a regular basis. It is nothing to be ashamed of. I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage you to get a copy of this book, either for yourself or for somebody else, to spend the time. It's a 31-day devotional. Spend the time with this subject and allow it to come to the surface and to deal with it. Put it in its proper place and give it to the Father. This is a great resource, and there's more like it. You can find out more information. You can find a Christian counselor. Give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Esther, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for the ministry that you are doing as well. I'm so grateful to be able to co-labor with you in this.
If there was ever a time for you to pick up the phone and give us a call to order a copy of a book that we make available through our interviews, this is the book. And let me encourage you to not be too ashamed to do that. Give us a call. Find out more information about Esther Liu and her book, Shame, Being Known and Loved, a 31-day devotional. You can give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today we're continuing our study in Psalm 103. It's one of my favorite psalms. It's one of those psalms that really captures your heart and reminding us of the need that we have to preach the gospel to ourselves. But you might be thinking, I've got it figured out. I'm already excelling in this area. I'm spiritually at my highest point. I don't need to worry about these lower things. Maybe they're good for somebody else, but not necessarily for me. Well, today, we'll hear from Stephen Whitmer why it is so important for us to preach the gospel to ourselves, because our hearts are prone to wander. Here is Stephen Whitmer.
Praising God means displaying the worth of God to the world. It means treasuring God's worth and seeing it ourselves and then displaying it to other people. And I think we should evaluate, as a church, we should evaluate the songs we sing, the Sunday school classes we teach, the sermons we preach according to this standard. Does it make much of God? Does it display the worth of God? And if it doesn't, why are we doing it? Our purpose, our mission is to display the worth of God to the world. Does it humble us? Does it exalt God? That's what we should do. Third, true praise of God seeks more people to join the praise. Let me just ask you, why, when you see a really good video on YouTube, do you want to share it with friends? Why is my first instinct upon watching a good YouTube video to go blitz it to as many other people as possible, preferably when I'm around them? Because I want to see them enjoy it, and I want to hear them praise it too. That's my response when I watch a good movie, when I read a good book, when I meet a person I like. I want other people to join in the praise of this book or this movie, this person or this YouTube video. There's a spectacular repetition of the word bless in the last verses of this psalm, verses 20 to 22. I'm going to read these verses as we close. And I hear this word bless is kind of like the crash of cymbals. Praise to God. Spectacular. Listen to David call other, not just humans, but angels, supernatural beings, into the praise of God. So it's not enough for David just to be praising God himself. He's got to call other people in. He's got to draw other people in to it. Verses 20 to 22. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. That's pretty all-inclusive. All his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's our message for Pepperell and surrounding communities. It's not enough to just be doing it here. We got to spread. We got to spread. We got to draw other people into the praise of God. In conclusion, I've just been blown away this week as I've reflected on the fact that we need to preach to our own souls to praise God. I thought, if I was standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, would I need to persuade my soul to praise what I'm seeing? If I was being shown this exquisite diamond, perfect cut, color, clarity, carat, would I need to preach to my own soul to praise the beauty of that diamond? I don't think so, but our souls are sinful and broken and flawed, and so we need to preach to those souls to praise God. Let me conclude with the words of the doxology. And the doxology could be taken just about straight from this psalm. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, verses 20 and 21. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, You are worthy to be praised. You are perfect. You are good. And so we praise You. We praise You, and we call the universe to join us in praising You.
I have been saying this for years now. Even here on the Songtime broadcast, I've been encouraging you to tune in regularly so that you'll hear the gospel and to listen closely to receive the gospel, to be able to pull it out and say, that is the good news that my soul needs to hear. You're always in conversation with yourself, and what you say to yourself really matters. And too often, in my experience, what I've learned is that what we often are telling ourselves is that we're okay. We're okay, we're fine, and we don't need to worry about any of this. We don't need to address the problem. We can deny it, we can avoid it, we can shift away from it, we can live in denial that we have any issues at all, and just continue along until we get to a crisis that's too big, and do the bare minimum that we can actually do to get out of that problem, and then get right back into the same pattern. What if we could actually avoid a lot of the heartaches of life, a lot of the struggles in life, if we were just to persist in doing a simple thing, preaching the gospel to ourselves every single day? Well, how does that work? What does that look like? It looks very much like reading Psalm 103 and just sitting with it for a little while, meditating on it, and then having that conversation with ourselves, separating ourselves from all of the other distractions, living in a little bit of quiet and isolation for a little while, turning off our phones, setting them aside, putting them in a drawer, locking the door, and just kind of getting away from all of the distractions and just sitting with the concept that you are a sinner. This is the bad news. We'll get to the good news in just a second, but you are a sinner that falls short of the glory of God. And that's a polite way of putting it. The truth is, your sin is a sign of active rebellion against the God who created you and the God who has designed the world, and your desire to be in control of your own life and make your own decisions and decide what is going to be right and wrong for yourself. And that constant rebellion is an insult in the face of God, worthy of His wrath. But that's the bad news. Now to the good news. But God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of your rebellion, to pay the price for your sin, so that He would punish His Son in your place, and as a result, you would be forgiven. There is no double jeopardy here. He cannot punish you for what He has already punished His Son for. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. And you need to sit with it for a little while. You need to linger with it a little bit longer at the foot of the cross, considering what price Christ paid for us. Don't diminish it. Really sit in it and meditate on it and reflect on that. And then rise up as you realize that Christ, who is risen from the dead, stands before the Father as your advocate and is there interceding on your behalf. And he is your attorney in heaven, your defense attorney. And now he is blessing you with all of his riches and glory and grace. All of these blessings that we see here in Psalm 103. And then having the confidence, going and letting the world around you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the gospel. And that's what we need to sit in just a little bit longer as we reflect upon the goodness of God. I hope that this encourages you, and as our summer psalm series comes to a close, I hope that you will continue to read through the psalms in your daily devotions and to sit and linger with the good news of what Jesus Christ has done a little bit longer each and every day. If we've been able to bless you, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630. Or you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.